Hey there, my name is Seth Juarez. We're here in Orlando, Florida for Worldwide Partner Conference 2015, and we have a lot of partners that we're talking to. But here we have Stefana. Tell us who you are and what you do.
Hi. Hi, everyone. My name is Stefana Muller. I'm product manager for CA Service Virtualization, a product in the DevOps space, and I'm here to show you what the product does today.
DevOps is like the new cool word.
Yeah.
How do you define it?
So I define it as a transformation a company would go through. I don't think that DevOps is something you implement.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you use as a methodology to transform your business.
Fantastic. Well, show us how you're doing that.
Okay. So first we're going to start on a little bit of an overview of what is CA Technologies, or who is CA Technologies, what challenges developers and testers are facing today, what is our product, CA Service Virtualization, and then I'll go into a demo and we'll tell you how you can get access to the software out on Azure.
Fantastic.
Okay, CA Technologies is the largest, one of the largest independent system software companies in the world. We have about 13,000 employees and we've been around for about 40 years. I've been at the company about 15.
Wow.
So it's a long time presence there, and it's a great company. And one thing that I can say is that we've focused our product line around three areas recently. One is management cloud, helping you manage cloud applications and cloud infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Two is DevOps, where the space that I'm focused on, and this specific technology is focused on. And three is security, where we're doing a lot around access management and so on. And this spans the server environment all the way down to your mobile device.
Right. Cool.
Okay. All right, so I think to first frame the problem that we solve with our software, we can go through this one overview. What are you hitting in your software development lifecycle that causes you to stop working? And that's something developers have happening all the time. This is what we call their constraints, right? They have system constraints, like the system isn't available, the back-end mainframe isn't available, the SAP environment isn't available for them to actually start building on. They have cost constraints, like there's a third-party service that they have to integrate with, and they don't know the APIs or whether the APIs are going to work. They have data constraints. They don't have the real-time data that's in the production environment. So how is it that they're going to prove out that their development build is working? And last but not least, parallel development constraints. How many developers do you know that say, I can't do this because my other developer over there on that other team isn't available or hasn't done their work? So I always see it in the front-end development team, right? The front-end team does their UI, but then they go, I don't know if the APIs are working because they're not here yet.
Right.
So all of these constraints exist today in SDLC, or software development lifecycle. And the biggest challenge you see is that over time, it compounds, right? Because this is just one constraint for one individual. It then expands over the whole team.
Correct.
We have some stats here from Voke Research. They actually did a research study overall, not based on CA's product line, but understanding what are the traffic jams people are hitting in the SDLC. Over 80% of teams experience delays in development in QA due to unavailable dependencies. I mean, these stats here prove it, that there is a reason and a need for something to remove these constraints, whatever that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny, I'm gonna skip down to the next slide, and this is one thing that's actually, I find it funny because it's something a customer said to me years ago. She said, I can't do anything until I have everything, and I never have everything. Well, that's the conundrum that
yeah.
a developer is in and the QA team is in. So how is it that they're going to be able to test their environment? How is it that they're going to be able to, you know, do what the market is saying, shift left and implement DevOps mm-hmm. and be, you know, seamless? How are they going to do that?
Yeah, and it feels like even today, no one's really truly working on a pure greenfield. There's always a lot of brownfield components that we need to work against. And sometimes they don't want us to touch those while we're working on our stuff.
I don't know how many times you hear somebody say, well, I need access to the SAP environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
The system of record. I won't pick on SAP, any system of record, any ERP, right? I need access to that. But you can't have access to that until Saturday night at 12 a.m. on the dot until 12:15. Right?
Yeah.
So how are you going to do testing?
Yeah, there's no
How
way.
Are you going to do integration testing? Mm-hmm. Really, you shouldn't have to wait for that, right? So in walks service virtualization, but I'm going to go through some of the things that people do today that are real pain points, that really pain a, actually make more pain for a customer, right?
Correct.
What they do today to deal with these constraints, they build these simplistic stubs and mocks. I'm sure every developer out there knows how to do build mocks or stubs. Every developer knows how to build them out for the specific unit test that they need and then throw it away. But how does that help when you want to expand across the SDLC?
And programmers love testing.
They do, of course, because now we're asking them all to be testers, right?
And not only that, but we're writing code that we have to throw out because we're not even sure that the API endpoints are going to be the same. We're not even sure. It's just, it's a problem.
Yeah. So I think one of the things that we always say is, what if you could just take what the code that you ran and use it every time?
Oh.
Right? Waste of time. That's another thing that they do. They sit there and twiddle their thumbs like my graphic on the screen shows. They spend days or weeks setting up environments, waiting for the test team, waiting for that team. I don't have the API, so I will stand here tapping my foot until somebody gives me what I need, right? Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, they waste a lot of money in third-party services. So imagine a payment processing or even an airline service, right? Where they have to plug into this third-party service and pay for the development environment.
Oof. Yeah, that makes sense.
By the ping, right?
Yeah.
So what is it? A nickel each time starts adding up, and it's very expensive. So those are the things we're trying to do today to alleviate the constraints. But what we have to offer is service virtualization, and this is a market term, service virtualization. We just put the CA in front of it to make it our software, right? Our software eliminates those constraints in development and tests. And the way we do it is similar to how a wind tunnel would work for a flight simulator. So you know how you have an airplane, right?
And oh yeah, I have two.
You have two.
Sure.
You have a lot of airplanes, right?
Yeah.
So I flew down this morning, right? So when I flew down this morning, I'm sure that plane, the first time they tested the wings, wasn't when they flew me down, right?
One would hope not.
Right. Yeah. We would hope that they had some sort of simulating environment to simulate the wind speeds and different conditions and turbulence before they even put it in the air with people on it, right? Well, that's what service virtualization does for an application. It provides that simulated environment to do real-world testing as if it were in production, but when it's not.
It feels like we're moving towards this era of virtualization. We have machine virtualization, but now this feels like even more granular. We're getting down to the service virtualization.
So machine virtualization is different because it allows you to replace an entire machine. Service virtualization is small stubs that actually don't take up much space and aren't a full infrastructure, right? You don't have virtual sprawl issues with service virtualization. Now, you could always build a new environment out on virtual servers, right? Costly.
Yeah.
Time. Mm-hmm. That type of stuff you don't need with service virtualization. So let me give an example quick, and then I'm going to show you a demo.
Cool, okay? Let's do it.
All right, so the first thing is order management is my system here. And the challenge is I'm developing the front end environment, and order management has tons of dependent systems at the bottom. Mm-hmm. As you can see here, what I am doing is I'm listening on those wire here to listen between the mainframe and my order management, between my system of record and my order management, and my ERP and any SaaS or external API. Mm-hmm. And I'm recording those transactions, request, response, back and forth, whether it be over HTTP, SOAP, REST, or even over MQ.
Okay.
So you're looking here at the way that service virtualization works, and what it's doing is recording those transactions, and then last but not least, it is replacing those end systems with these small stubs that can actually play back the same business behavior.
That's interesting, because I was thinking you made a system that required you to create a stub and then define the whole API set. You're saying this will just listen and then make it for you.
So there's many different ways to create a virtual service. You could give me a list of your APIs and throw them in there as request response pairs or something like that. You can use Swagger specs, mm-hmm. Waddles, WSDLs, RAMLs. Those all work. The best way is recording what actually happens.
Yeah, it's much easier.
Because how many times do you have, in an application environment, not know what the mainframe actually does?
Yeah. Right? Nobody knows what the mainframe's doing. Yeah, nobody wants to know.
We were talking about that earlier.
That's right.
It's an older language. It's difficult to figure out what it's doing. So in the end, we'll listen and we'll transact. We'll actually capture those transactions and simulate those transactions moving forward. And that helps in performance, too.
Of course.
So I can take that, and not just in regression test and integration test, but now I can throw a performance load against it.
Oh, nice. So that way you can see.
You can actually see if it's going to work at scale,
yeah.
Right? Okay, so now the quote from the customer that I had a few years back, she said, I have everything I need when I need it. And I'm going to show you a quick demo.
Let's do it.
Of how service virtualization works. And the cool thing about this version of service virtualization is it's out on Azure. So it's actually hosted on the Azure Marketplace, and you can deploy a virtual machine with the full product line on it.
Nice.
And use it today, right?
Cool.
Okay. So give me a second to move over to my demo. I'm going to show you two things. One is my browser, which is my virtual service tool, okay? And the other thing I'm going to show you is an application, which is the problem application that I have, right? I'm the developer, pretend I am a developer, and I'm developing the Lisa Financial Bank application. And I'm putting new stuff on the back end, and I'm trying to test it, and or try to, actually maybe I'm putting something new in the front end. So if I go into my banking application, I'm actually gonna just go into it right now. This is where it's located. It's actually located out on another server. I'm gonna try to log in. And yeah, I can log into the live service. Okay, this is live. This is a live application, and I can do a checking deposit. Wouldn't this be fun if you could actually deposit money whenever you want?
Yeah,
I can do another transaction. And so I did checking a few transactions. And in the end, I just exercised a live application. Well, the tool is actually going to sit like a man in the middle to record that those transactions now. So I'm going to actually go into my DevTest portal, which helps you do service virtualization, test automation, and a bunch of other stuff. And I'm going to go create virtual website. And I'm going to change my recording name to Hello, whatever I want to call it today. And as you can see here, I'm going to set up my man in the middle, my recorder, okay? And my end port was 8080, I believe, right? We said that before, and it's checked and it's working. And now it's saying my recorder's on this port. So I'm gonna take my kiosk application here
and change the port,
and change the port to that so it can sit in the middle. Now, what did I say it was? 11476, you remember that.
That's right, 11476.
So it found the port that was available, which is kind of nice, especially if, you're going to use this with many different users at
Correct.
A company. Okay. And so I changed that around and I'm gonna start the recording. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna take a look at Stefano's screen here. Up in the right side, we have an orange box, right? And here I have the kiosk application. I'm gonna exercise the kiosk application and you're gonna see the transactions being captured, okay? Okay, I'm gonna do the things on the right side too. So you can see the transactions just up to.
Yeah, I see that.
Okay, I can actually expand that if I wanted to see what they were. A few different posts. Okay, those are SOAP transactions. Let's go back to my kiosk. I did a balance, I did deposit. I'm gonna deposit 40, and then I'm gonna deposit 20. I'm just doing that so you can see some of the things that happen later. Remember 40 and 20, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm gonna go back. And I'll cancel out, I'm done, okay? I transacted about 5 times. The best part is, normally you'd have test cases to run against this, so you don't have to manually go through.
Right.
Or you can send your manual testers to go in and manually go through once, and now it's all recorded.
That's right.
Okay, and you could create test cases from those as
cool.
well. But that's besides service virtualization, so we'll keep it to service virtualization right now. I'll stop the recording, and now what we see is I have 5 transactions. It's gonna let me go through this process of configuring. It said, hey, guess what? We found SOAP. Is that the way we should translate these transactions? And I'm gonna say, yes, that's the way you should translate it. And look how cool that is. It says, oh, look, a get new token, a get account, a deposit money, and so on. Okay, now we're going to save the transactions, and we're going to actually deploy it as a virtual service.
Okay.
So that we can pretend that we are real. we'll call it not real group.
Right,
just for
of course,
fun,
just in case.
Because it's really not real. All right, and it will save and deploy. Now, let's see. I saved hello one, it's over here. So you can go back into the service image and see what the transactions were.
Okay.
You can see that my password is here. You can actually use some transaction data to de-identify that, especially if you have credit card numbers,
sure,
or social security numbers. All that can be detected and de-identified before it gets here. I didn't do that in this transaction.
Okay.
But that is available. So you see the deposit money account. Remember I said a $40 deposit and a $20 deposit?
That's right.
They're right there. You can see the request. You can see the response. The full response in XML is right here. And I could actually change some of the formatting here so that it auto-formats so I can see it a little bit better. It's all dependent on what the format is. We can capture JSON, all different types of formats, right? Anyway, let me go back to now, this is running out on my virtual service environment. And I'm gonna go out there now and look at my monitor, my VSE. So this hello one is running, okay? It's running and it's not real group, as
right,
a joke. What I'm going to do is now point my kiosk to that instead of that real live service and see if it works.
I see. Okay.
I'm going to prove it out.
Let's do it.
Do you think it's going to work?
I think it'll work.
What do you guys think?
I think it will.
All right. So let's go out to the kiosk. Remember, my port is localhost. 11476. Oh, 11476. Yeah. Wow, that was very good. I'll click OK, and I'm going to try to log in. It logged in. Now, did I really hit the virtual service, or did I hit the live service? Let's go here and just do a quick refresh. It hit the virtual service. You can see that.
Fantastic.
So you can tell that I'm not faking it out here. I can also go into the checking account.
Mm-hmm.
I can do a deposit of $20. I can do a deposit of $40. Now, let me ask you something. Do we only do $20 and $40 deposits?
Generally not.
How much do you want to deposit today?
Well, I mean, like
100,
payday's
maybe?
Tomorrow, so maybe 100 million, billion.
How about 100? We'll start with that. It's a little easier.
I mean, let's go easier on the
100
system.
Million, billion?
Yeah.
I'm going to deposit $100. Did you see that it worked?
Yeah.
Why did it work?
Because it understood the parameters, because it read them through the SOAP WSDL
contract. It actually figured out the contract on its own without having to be said, here's the contract. It said, this parameter of dollar amount is something that should be a variable. We call it a magic string because we like that
right.
word, right? It also said, oh, the funds will be available in 3 days. And I'm going to plus 3 days on every transaction you put in here. So that's some business rules that you normally can't simulate in unit testing,
right? That's right.
So those are cool, some cool ideas of business rules. There's many different that you can simulate.
So what happens what happens if it's not, the API is not fully exercised?
So let's show you that, okay? The statement, I never did statement
mm-hmm.
before, error. So there's a default response that will come back.
Got
and
it.
You can set the default response, and it's erroring because I'm actually hitting
something,
a virtual service.
That's
I'm
right.
not hitting a live thing. Ideally, you'd go back in, you'd re-record, or you can go into your service image and add
and
those transactions.
Yeah.
So let me give you an example. There's a lot of times where the API doesn't exist today,
mm-hmm.
right? But you have to build the front end. So what if you built a service, virtual service, using known requests and responses to build your virtual API?
Right. So it's like stubbing it out somewhere, but
that
testing
can be reused.
It, testing it over the wire for real.
Yes,
okay.
exactly. So, and it can be reused by multiple teams. So now not only can we allow QA access to environments, but we can also allow developers access to environments.
So I see two different components here. One is the recorder, and one is the actual stubbed out service that's running as if it's the real service.
Exactly.
Where do those two things live, or where can they, or where should they live?
Well, right now they're living both on my machine here. So that's one way to do it. We do have a client server model. In the Azure environment, we're all putting it out on one VM because it could work like that.
Okay.
So it will be out on one virtual machine with enough resources to run all that what you need to run for one or two developers, depending on what you need. And then it scales, obviously.
That's awesome. Yep. Well, where can people go to find out more?
So that's a great question. I'll go back to my PowerPoint here and just give you a link that you can go back to find more.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, service virtualization is available to many large companies today. We have, you know, four of the five major banks in the world use the service virtualization technology. airlines use it and so on. I could give you tons of examples. But what about you? Mr. Developer who just wants to, or Mr. or Mrs. Developer who just wants to learn how to use it today, our best bet is going out onto the Azure Marketplace. And the best part about it is you don't have to have hardware resources.
Correct.
Right? You don't have to worry about signing an agreement with CA. You can pay per hour just like you do with your Azure resources. So it's pay per use and much easier to consume for that individual developer, smaller company, even mid-sized company who's not ready to take the plunge into DevOps.
And if it's an image, you don't have to set anything up.
Oh, yeah, that's best. That's so it's automatic ease of deployment, no changes necessary. We even give you a getting started guide on how to do what I just did on the screen.
Well, fantastic. Thanks so much for spending some time with us.
No problem. So
again,
just a quick update.
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, on the URL, ca.com/SVOnDemand is where you can find more information, and that will show you where it's hosted on the marketplace.
I love it. Thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
Again, we're here in Florida for the Worldwide Partner Conference 2015. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time. Take care.